This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Jury deliberations are expected to continue today at former music mogul Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Jurors getting the case Monday. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The eight men and four women are deciding whether Combs ran a criminal enterprise with employees who prosecutors said serviced the defendant's every desire through a methodical pattern of violence, coercion, and manipulation, procured drugs, and stocked hotel rooms with baby oil and lubricant. Combs has denied all the charges, and the defense argued his employees were simply buying items for a celebrity boss, telling the jury, you know, I don't expect that we're going to see Beyonce in CVS.
The winner of New York City's Democratic mayoral primary between progressive Zoran Mamdani and former Governor Andrew Cuomo is likely to be finalized today when the city's Board of Elections announces the next round of results. Mamdani already declared victory on election night after gaining a commanding lead over Cuomo, who quickly conceded. This is ABC News. American Airlines says this July 4th season will be its largest ever, with almost 7.6 million customers flying on the airline between June 27th and July 7th. ABC's transportation correspondent Gio Benitez reports some early travelers faced hazardous weather conditions over the weekend.
Over the weekend, at least 15 tornadoes were reported across the plains and the Midwest.
Oh, my God.
And more bad weather is expected. Some Amtrak passengers had to be taken to a local hospital with heat exhaustion after their train broke down south of Jessup, Georgia. More than 140 people had to be taken by bus to their final destination. All of this as an unprecedented number of people hit the road and the skies.
Britain's King Charles is giving up the royal train the family has used since Queen Victoria's reign. Officials in charge of Charles's finances announced the train will be decommissioned by 2027, saying it's too expensive to operate and needs significant upgrades. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks have agreed to bring back three of their players, guards Gary Trent and Kevin Porter, and forward Taurean Prince, all three agreeing to two-year deals to stay in Milwaukee, with the second year being a player option. But the Bucks are losing their center, Brook Lopez. He'll sign a two-year contract with the LA Clippers. Lopez became a team leader during his 7 years with the Bucks.
Whatever happens, you know, whatever I do, just having a positive influence on the game. You know, that was my main thought. Having fun, but having a positive influence on the game, a positive impact.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Mets tonight in New York. The Crew coming off that 4-3 loss Sunday to the Rockies in 11 innings.
Extras are extras, but I mean, everyone in here was fired up to get a chance to walk it off, you know, so I don't think it's really hard necessarily to get back in the dugout and try to rally guys up because everyone's still chomping at the bit.
That's the Brewers right fielder Sal Frelick with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear will drop to the mid 60s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll continue to monitor the budget process both in D.C. and Madison. And what's worse for the holidays, ketchup or mustard? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. How is everybody doing? Hope you're having a great day. Wherever you're joining us from across the state, it is great to have you as we ring in. It's finally Monday. That's one of my favorite things to say. I like my weekends, but I like being on the air and talking about what we talk about here on Nightlight on a nightly basis. Great movies, TV, comedy, music, theater, really fun events in Wisconsin across the state. It's just a blast. What could be better? Conrad, how's it going?
It's going well. It is going good. I did nothing.
Okay. That's not too bad. It's okay to do nothing once in a while, right?
Yeah. I just kind of sat around and watched some colored television.
Oh, nice. It's the best kind.
And I was around the apartment just cleaning and.
Okay. Put on some tunes.
I did.
Scrub the place down. You got people coming to town, right? Or is that.
I'm leaving town.
You're
actually
leaving town. You got a tattoo.
Well, that's the following week.
Okay.
July 11th.
Wow, you got the whole summer planned out.
This week I'm going to Beaver Dam because my friends just moved there.
Okay.
So I'm going to see their place and kind of go around. Beaver Dam with them.
It's a fine city.
You know, I haven't been there in so long, so it's going to be fun to go see them and
great
see their
place.
New place.
Great location. It's close to Madison. It's right off 151. My wife's Uncle Jimmy lives there, and it's just a swell little town. Love Beaver Dam. We've got a great show tonight, folks. You're here on a great night because we're going to be talking at 6:35. We're talking about film incentives that might take place here in Wisconsin. It's looking good. And we'll have two members of Action Wisconsin here at 6:35 to discuss where things are at with the legislation. It's made it past two hurdles with one more to go. And I believe the next one, it just gets enacted if the law is going to pass. But it has bipartisan support. And we will talk at 6:35 to Jeff Kurz and Nathan Deming. Nathan will be here in studio. Jeff will join us over the stream. Both very talented filmmakers themselves. Nathan has been on the show before, and as you may or may not remember, he is making a film for every month of the year in Wisconsin, shooting it in Wisconsin. He's done January, February. I assume he's hard at work on March. I just saw him out in the lobby and he was typing. So I'm just going to assume that's on the script for March, and he's writing a part for his old pal Petey. So Nathan will be here in studio. Jeff Kurz is a former Miramax executive and Milwaukee native. He'll join us on the stream. Both great guys and very talented movie makers. And then at 7:35, my old pal Kurt Newman from the Bodines will be here. Kurt is the founder and frontman of the Bodines. And we have worked together. It's been many years, but Kurt wrote a score for my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. And just if you haven't seen the film, folks, and I've been talking about The Godfather of Green Bay, Conrad, tell me if we talk about it too much, because a lot of my friends had something to do with the film. So it comes up here periodically, but I don't want to overdo it. Does that make sense?
Well, it's like your baby, you know, it's your first film. You
it's
know?
One of them.
And so I feel like you don't talk about it enough.
It's my dysfunctional child. But Kurt, rent the film, folks, or see it free on Tubi just to watch Kurt's or listen to Kurt's work, I should say. He wrote just a great score. And at the time, he had told me he had never written a film score before. So I was blown away by what he did. And he gave us several Bodine songs to use. So the film is peppered with Bodine's music, too. It's great. And it'll be great to talk to Kurt at 7:35. They got some great summer shows coming up here throughout Wisconsin, including one in a couple days at the Atwood Music Hall. The brand spanking new Atwood Music Hall, which, as I understand it, is absolutely state-of-the-art and gorgeous. So we'll talk to Kurt at 7:35. It's good to see Todd Alba.
Yeah.
Todd should just move to Green Bay, I think. He's been here a lot lately.
Yeah, yeah. He says it was his grandma's birthday, I believe.
I think his mom's.
Mom's birthday, okay. So
he came up here to serve cake, literally.
Well, maybe just move into the basement there.
Well, or move in here. We got two showers that never get used. I rarely need to towel off after a show.
There's no curtain, so like it's kind of weird. Have you ever showered without a curtain?
You know, I probably have at some point in my life.
It just feels weird.
It does. Like, and you have to just kind of stand in the corner and prevent any residual water damage.
Like the first week I was at my new place, I didn't get a new curtain yet. And, it was just, it felt weird.
It's strange. It's like having no clothes on something. You kind of feel naked.
I pointed the head like towards the wall, like, you know, in the shower.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want any of the water getting out.
Exactly. And it's funny. I remember when the night we moved to LA from our apartment in Chicago, my wife said, you know, I just want to take a shower. I said, well, go ahead. But we had no shower curtain.
Yeah.
And we had no hot water.
Oh,
so she had to take a cold shower with no shower curtain. But I made sure to stand there and watch her just to make sure everything was okay.
How noble of you.
I think I can say that about my own wife. All right. I don't know how we got off on that. But we have a great question tonight, folks, too. And let's get to that, Conrad, so people can start playing the game if they want. It is time for the Nightlight Question of the Night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, this is going to be fun, folks. Who is your favorite athlete to wear a Wisconsin college or pro uniform? We are opening this up. Who is your favorite athlete to wear a Wisconsin college or pro uniform? You can pick an athlete who went to UW, St. Norbert, Whitewater, Bucks, Brewers, minor league hockey, the Admirals, Packers. You know, just you have a blank canvas here. And I'm so excited to share mine.
Go ahead.
It's Hank Aaron.
Okay.
And people forget that because he didn't play his whole career here, but he might be the greatest. In my opinion, and there are people that know more about baseball than me, but I was obsessed with baseball when I was younger. And Hank Aaron, his numbers, it's hard not to, he's at least in the conversation of the top three players of all time, in my opinion. Maybe the best. But I would say Hank Aaron. And we spent, when I was a kid, my mom's family lived in Milwaukee and my dad's was from Chicago. So we would drive up when it was still County Stadium. We would tailgate because my uncle Pat Murphy, no relation, my mom's a Murphy. I'm half Murphy. We would drive up and tailgate in the Milwaukee Brewers parking lot. And part of those times were when Hank Aaron was on the Brewers, and it was pretty cool. I had an autographed picture of him from my Aunt Rosie, and I have no idea what happened to it. I was like 12, didn't care as much as I should have. And now I'm like, why don't you still have that? That would look really cool on the office wall. So I would have to say Hank Aaron, possibly not a runner up, but top five, Frank Kaminsky, maybe?
That's mine.
That's your first. Nice.
Frank Kaminsky brought me back to how good a Wisconsin program can actually be.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, many years before, it's like we had one good team, took along to get another good team.
True.
Frank was great in college. And
he was phenomenal.
Brought my love back for college basketball, I'd say. Ever since ever since that year, it's been nonstop me watching college basketball all the time. So I'd say him is my number one.
That there's nothing wrong. That's a great number one. And frankly, like that was a great team. And Nigel Hayes was great. And Sam Decker.
Yeah.
And but Frank Kaminsky, they don't get that far without Frank.
Oh, no.
And I would say if I had a third runner up, all the great Wisconsin running backs.
There's too many.
So many.
There's too many.
So cumulatively, I'm going to put them all in my number three. So
it's
there you go.
My favorite out of all of them is Jonathan Taylor, but
yeah, he's probably the best too, right?
In the league, I would say, yeah.
Or had the best pro career. Ron Dane had a pretty good pro career, but not.
Yeah, he kind of went, I mean, Monte Ball kind of had he was good in college and then he did something that he shouldn't have done in the pros, but.
What did he do?
He got a DUI.
Oh, he got a DUI. Right, well, you know, that's terrible.
Yeah,
and it's you're putting other people at risk. Yes. I get it, but it's there are worse crimes, you know, and hopefully he didn't endanger anybody, but whatever. It's a crime, of course. My other one is Melvin Gordon.
And Melvin Gordon's great. I wish he'd never left the Chargers. I think that kind of put a little hitch in his career because he wanted more money and they weren't offering. So he's like, well, see ya.
He was so great. I remember watching that game, and I had an opportunity to go to that game when he ran for the 500 plus yards. And I didn't. But it was fun sitting at home watching it too because the snow was falling.
Yeah.
He ran for over 500 yards, and then a week later the record was broken.
I mean, know
all the things that could happen.
Yeah. He had it for a week though.
He had to be sitting home going, "Wait a minute, what?" Poor guy.
Well, all right. So Frank Kaminsky's my one.
Yeah. All right.
Two. Prince Fielder.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favorite baseball player.
Okay. Of all time?
Of all time, yeah.
Favorite. Oh, nice.
Because I looked up to him so much as a kid playing baseball, you know?
Okay.
And then number three. Oh, this is tough.
Giannis?
I really like Christian Yelich.
But over Giannis?
Okay, so.
Or Bart Starr?
And this is our favorites.
Yeah.
I would probably say John Kuhn.
Oh wow! Okay.
Because I was a fullback, and I looked up to him too. And I just think he had a really cool chant when he got the ball out every time.
Kuhn,
but like in unison, you know?
Yeah,
it was so cool.
But when he heard boos, they were saying Kuhn.
Yeah.
What happened when you heard boos? Were they saying Krieger?
They.
I hope you didn't hear boos. I don't think you heard boos. All right, those are great.
He stinks.
Those are great. So mine, Hank Aaron, Frank Kaminsky, and then an assortment of Wisconsin running backs. Conrad says Frank Kaminsky, Prince Fielder, and John Kuhn. All right, that's a great starting point. Let us know what who your favorites are, folks, to ever wear a Wisconsin pro or college uniform. Those are the parameters. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will read your text on the radio. Hope you play along. It's always more fun when you guys get involved in the show. I saw Formula One. You know what? I'm going to save that for after the break. I have a pet peeve. I have a new pet peeve.
Oh no!
I didn't know I had this many pet peeves until I was on the radio. But it was my anniversary this past weekend. My wife and I went out to dinner. I go to the restroom. No towels. They only have the blow dryer for the hands. And then one of those doors, you can't just like use an elbow. You have to lock it and use the handle. And there's no way around that unless you want to go grab disgusting toilet paper. And I'm in a restaurant. What do you do? You got to remedy that. If you own a restaurant, you have to give people the opportunity not to touch the door handle after they wash their hands.
You know what? The best thing I've seen with those types of bathrooms is people who have a foot, they can put your foot on the door and then move it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best.
I think you should go back in there and tell them what to add.
Well, you know what? I went to another place. I went to a place, an Italian place I love. And I can't believe I did this, but I suggested they had Bar Rescue on. Like, they have served good food.
Bar Rescue sucks, by the way.
And I got to listen to this big mouth on the TV. It's like, it's so annoying. And I said, have you guys ever thought about playing some Italian music or some light jazz? And the kid said, yeah. He goes, you're the second person to say that today. And I go, it's because of that. It's that TV. You know, if there's like a big sports game, a game on or something, I get it. But come on, put some jazz on. And then the owner comes over And the kid says, hey, he thinks we should play music. I'm like, don't do that. I don't want to be that guy. All right, we're coming back, folks. I'm going to tell you about F1, the movie, and we'll read your texts. And we're just going to talk about stuff. We got a lot to talk to. A lot to talk about. I can't talk. I didn't talk at all today. I'm warming up for the first hour. All right, it's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Balls under boob and butt. Boob and butt.
Catchy.
All day odor protection for under $10.
That sounds like big, big savings. However, this is Peach Waba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. That was a commercial Conrad found. And what are they saying? Balls
under boob and butt.
Balls under boob and butt. And they're saying that's where you should put deodorant on.
They're all day spray.
I agree heartily with two of those. What I don't understand, the deodorant thing has gotten out of hand. Now they have deodorant for every body part. At some point, we just have to admit we stink. And maybe get the basics. Go with one or two body parts. Obviously, the underarms. But maybe not. Like, if you're not going to be running around all day, I don't know. It's just getting out of control. It's like, it's okay to smell a little bit at the end of the day. You don't need that kind of protection.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I shower so I don't smell.
That's the time you should do it, is because when you shower at night, your body is clean and toxin-free for like 8 to 10 hours, however long you sleep. You shower in the morning, you start sweating immediately.
Yeah, and you're not making your bed dirty either.
Correct.
Which is good.
That is good, except here's what my wife does. Like, I go to bed last night, I got the air on. She gets up at 7, 6:30, whatever, turns it off. And by 8 o'clock, I wake up sweating. I'm like, how did this happen? What is going on here? It's just rude. Antisocial behavior.
I have a massive fan just pointed at my face. So
that's not the least bit annoying. Head, shoulders. No, It's balls, under boob, and butt.
Yep.
I think you could say all those.
Also
words.
Thighs.
Okay.
And feet.
Thighs and feet. Feet is the big one. I would say outside of armpits, it's got to be feet. Unless you're going to be intimate with someone, then I get why you'd want to,
see,
you know, this go below the equator.
This is a good thing that is a spray.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like you should use a stick for all of those parts.
Right. You could get carried away, too. The spray, it's like hands off. If you start touching yourself with one of those sticks, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, would you want to use, you know, what you use for your pits?
Right.
On your feet?
No, I mean, the stuff, if you use deodorant on your feet, isn't that a different thing? Like, it's not the same stuff you're putting on your armpit. And if you spray, is that, like, bad for the environment? I don't know. Is it like Reichard when people used to, because they kind of frowned on using those.
So I told you I found this commercial today, and I said it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Worst thing I've ever seen? It's not worse than the Russell Wilson commercial.
Okay, I forgot about that one. That one's pretty bad.
At least they're providing a service here. You know, they're trying to help you. But I don't know that we need that much deodorant.
I was just trying to watch something on YouTube, and that ad came on, and I replayed it like four times.
Are you sure someone didn't send that to you?
It was just an ad that popped up. I was like, what?
All right, fair enough. This is... all right. So I saw F1 over the weekend. Now it's down. It was in the 90th percentile on Rotten Tomatoes. Now it's like low 80s. I see people on social media loving this movie. I don't know if they're planted there by the studio or not. It's not a great movie. It's entertaining because the racing stuff is really cool. I'll tell you the best thing about the movie to me is when the Formula One cars would pull over and the pit crew, how fast they work blows my mind. And honestly, that was the best part of the movie for me. The racing scenes are cool. The music is good, but the movie is 2 hours and 36 minutes. And I bet there's a 20-page script. Characters are just like, who cares? I get it. Brad Pitt's older. It's like Tin Cup meets Bull Durham meets Days of Thunder. We've seen this story a gazillion times. And Brad Pitt was doing like this weird thing where he's like, I got to get out there on that track. Like kind of this raspy, it just did not seem realistic to me. The movie is wall-to-wall music. And the scenes are great. The racing scenes are cool. The music's good. But I don't need 2.5 hours of music. And it could have been an hour and a half long. And having said that, I didn't dislike it. I was entertained, but it was a video. It was not a movie. And like Nathan Demming, who will be here shortly, said he felt that way about Oppenheimer. It was like watching a 2-hour trailer. And that's kind of what this was like. It's like, give me some story.
So would you recommend waiting for it to
streaming? I would wait. I mean, unless you want, if you go with a group and you want a popcorn movie, maybe. It's not like it's bad. It just did not grab me in any way. I like Brad Pitt. We just did that Brad Pitt question Friday. Is he a good actor or not? He's not good in this. He's okay. He's just not that good. And it's too bad because I felt like they could have really done something. It'd be interesting to get Emerson Lehman's opinion on the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I wonder if he's seen it yet.
We'll have to reach out.
Send him a text.
Our question of the night, folks, is who is your favorite athlete who has ever worn a college or pro uniform in Wisconsin? Could be the Badgers, I said St. Norbert's, Carroll College. I don't care. They've worn a college or pro uniform in Wisconsin. Who's your favorite athlete? Obviously, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, Milwaukee Admirals, Green Bay Blizzard even. Any one of these people are qualified. I said Hank Aaron is my favorite. Conrad said Prince Fielder, correct?
Frank Kaminsky, Prince Fielder.
I'm sorry. And Frank Kaminsky is on my list as well. So going to the stream, Dave says, Irv Kunisch, 1960 Rose Bowl. Dave has been listening faithfully for a year. Thank you for that, Dave. Roughly. And I know who his dad is because he coached football at the Marinette Public High School. I did not know he played in the 1960 Rose Bowl. That is pretty cool. And a nice little homage to your dad. Thank you, Dave. And then he says, Ricky Blyer. I assume he means Rocky Blyer. We all do it, Dave. There he goes. He corrected himself. Conrad's mom says Reggie White and Donald Driver.
Two great Packers.
Yeah. Not going to get much argument there. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk film incentives here in Wisconsin. Will they happen or won't they? We'll hear from the experts, two guys actively involved in trying to bring incentives to Wisconsin, Nathan Deming and Jeff Kurz. That's all coming up next after the news. And maybe we'll even read some more texts. We'll see what happens. It's one of those kind of nights. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Jury deliberations are expected to continue today at former music mogul Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Jurors getting the case Monday. ABC's Aaron Kutursky.
The eight men and four women are deciding whether Combs ran a criminal enterprise with employees who prosecutors said serviced the defendant's every desire through a methodical pattern of violence, coercion, and manipulation, procured drugs, and stocked hotel rooms with baby oil and lubricant. Combs has denied all the charges, and the defense argued his employees were simply buying items for a celebrity boss, telling the jury, you know, I don't expect that we're going to see Beyonce in CVS.
The winner of New York City's Democratic mayoral primary between progressive Zoran Mamdani and former Governor Andrew Cuomo is likely to be finalized today when the city's Board of Elections announces the next round of results. Mamdani already declared victory on election night after gaining a commanding lead over Cuomo, who quickly conceded. This is ABC News.
The Bucks making moves in free agency. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks have agreed to bring back three of their players, guards Gary Trent and Kevin Porter, and forward Taurean Prince, all three agreeing to two-year deals to stay in Milwaukee, with the second year being a player option. But the Bucks are losing their center, Brook Lopez. He'll sign a two-year contract with the LA Clippers. Lopez became a team leader during his 7 years with the Bucks.
Whatever happens, you know, whatever I do, just having a positive influence on the game. You know, that was my main thought. Having fun, but having a positive influence on the game, a positive impact.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Mets tonight in New York. The Crew coming off that 4-3 loss Sunday to the Rockies in 11 innings.
Extras are extras, but I mean, everyone in here was fired up to get a chance to walk it off, you know, so I don't think it's really hard necessarily to get back in the dugout and try to rally guys up because everyone's still chomping at the bit.
That's the Brewers right fielder Sal Frelick with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Apple Films' F1 is definitely a hit, but will it be a financial success? Sounds like a strange question, but prognosticators are curious. The film opened number one with a $57 million domestic haul and has brought in $145 million worldwide. The Brad Pitt-Jerry Bruckheimer effort received excellent reviews, but still landed a little short of expectations. How to Train Your Dragon came in second place with just under $20 million and a less than 50% drop-off in week three, giving it a domestic total of just over $200 million. Disney Pixar's Elio, although a bit of a disappointment, still came in third place with just over $10 million at the gate. Megan 2.0 underperformed as well, earning much less than the first chapter of the film, coming in at about $10 million domestically. Rounding out the top five was 28 Years Later, which came in just under $10 million in its second week of release. Fasten your seatbelts, though, moviegoers. A dinosaur invasion is happening tomorrow. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear will drop to the mid 60s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is what I love, Madison. There's so many weird things. Bennett's Meadowood Country Club, which is a bar and not a country club, they have an event called Smut and Eggs. You show up for eggs and you watch a porn film while you eat breakfast. I have trouble watching a PG-13 movie when I eat breakfast. It's more of a dinner thing, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice group orgy and some pasta.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
On the next show, what happens if 20 million people lose their health insurance? Kristen Krall from Fair Share America joins Maggie to talk about the Stop the Billionaire Giveaway bus tour.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Song stops right in the middle and then comes back on, and because you're worried it's not coming back, then it does, then you're happy. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Tom from New Berlin. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite college or pro athlete, or college or pro athlete that's worn a Wisconsin uniform? Pro, college, St. Norbert's, Middleton College. Somebody said Dave Craig. We'll read that text. That was a good pull. Dave on the stream says, wow, nice tangent. I assume he is talking about that perverted commercial you found, Conrad.
It was a good talk.
It was a good talk. Tom from New Berlin says, no curtain or partition, walls boot camp style. I don't know what that is. What were we talking about 23 minutes
ago? That was when we don't have a shower curtain.
Oh, okay. I thought he meant the urinals at Wrigley Field. But either way, that works. Jack from Merrimack says, funny thing, my first thought was Hank Aaron, too. Thank you, Jack. Great choice. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, our pal Pamela says, Robin Yount was my favorite. Hard to go wrong with Robin Yount, too. Pro athlete at 19 years old. Keep those texts coming, folks. We'll read them throughout the course of the show. And right now, this is exciting. Hour two. Kurt Newman, the founder of the band, legendary Wisconsin band, the Bodines. He is the front man, lead singer, guitarist. He will be here at 7:35 to talk about a show they have coming up in Madison in just 2 days at the beautiful new Atwood Music Hall. We'll talk to Kurt at 7:35 p.m. Right now, my pal Nathan Deming. Have I done a show that you haven't been on? I'm just curious.
I wasn't here last week.
That's true. You were. Yeah. Nathan Deming is back in town. It's great to have him in the studio.
Where's Jeff?
Filmmaker Nathan Deming. And he joins us here in the studio. Do we have Jeff? There he is.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. And Jeffrey Kurz joins us from Milwaukee. Also, a fine Wisconsin filmmaker.
At a disadvantage because I'm not in person.
Yeah, we are really bonding here.
I'm co-hosting tonight.
Jeff is on the periphery, but we'll make you feel welcome, Jeff. It's good to have you, buddy.
It's nice to see you both.
Yeah, likewise. So,
and Conrad, too.
Conrad, can they see you?
No, they can't.
Let's remedy that. There we go. Now we're all together again. It's like the Brady Bunch with what's happening there.
Isn't Conrad Kiwaskum's favorite son?
That is true.
Self-proclaimed. He's top five. Let's not get crazy here. I mean, there's some people. There's some big hitters come out of Kewaskum. Hey, it's great to have you guys here. And this is a conversation I've been looking forward to having with both of you. I love talking film in Wisconsin. I love talking to filmmakers who make their home here. And what better way to bring us all together on this Monday night than to talk about this really cool process that's going on with Action Wisconsin and you guys working hard to bring film incentives here to Wisconsin. Let's start and jump in right there. Where are things at right now, Jeff, since you're at a disadvantage, since you're on the stream? Let's start with you.
Okay. So just in case your audience doesn't know, so Wisconsin is one of 13 states that does not offer production incentives. And it is one of only three states that does not have a designated film office. And the importance of production incentives, that it's the number one factor that production companies consider when they're choosing a location to film in, right? So oftentimes, if a production company wants to come to Wisconsin to film, their first question is, what are your tax incentives? And when we say, oh, we don't have those, the line goes dead, right?
Yeah.
So we've been, Nathan and I and a bunch of other people have been working diligently to bring production incentives back. And so bills have been written, one in the Assembly and one in the Senate. They have strong bipartisan support because really this is not, it's about filmmaking, right? But it's also about creating and retaining jobs. It is about boosting local economies, and it is about promoting tourism in the state. So we have 42 legislators who are co-sponsoring these bills. As wow. I said, it's a big bipartisan group. And Nathan and I have been testifying twice in Madison in front of subcommittees in both the Assembly and the Senate. And both of those subcommittees that we testified in front of, the bills were passed unanimously.
That is great news. You know, it's funny you say this because I'm sitting here. I love that there's bipartisan support at a time when our country is incredibly polarized. And every night I come on the air and I say I'm talking about things that bring us together, movies, TV, comedy, music, like sports. So it's great that this is a bipartisan bill. And I want to say it was the brainchild of a Republican state senator or two of them. Why did this bill? I mean, we all love movies, but typically, oftentimes, the right, Hollywood is like kind of a target of the right. Why are they in favor of the incentives? And why are Democrats? What brought them together on this?
Because they realize that this is, once again, an economic issue. It's an economic growth issue. And it represents an economic, it's a model and a revenue stream that the state does not have right now. So the two authors of the bills, there's Senator Julian Bradley from New Berlin. And before he was a rock star legislator, he was a professional wrestler. So he understands not only the economics of entertainment, but also just how to kind of build strong support among his colleagues for this issue. And then on the Assembly, there was David Armstrong from Rice Lake. And Representative Armstrong is the executive director of the Barron County Economic Development Corporation. So this is somebody who really understands what his constituents want and what would make this state grow economically. And, because that's kind of what he does. So they both realized that this was a great economic building block for the state.
Nathan, on the website, it says there's a 30% tax credit that will be issued. Is that in the form of a rebate? What does that mean exactly? Or is it something you can write off? How does that work?
I feel like I got a Jeff question with that one.
Oh, sorry. but listen, I assume you guys are interchangeable. Please defer, though. Yeah,
you know.
Of course.
I believe we're proposing a transferable tax credit, which can be, once it's given to you, can be resold to a corporation of your choice at a later date. I'll personally probably go to Kohl's or Target or something like that.
So wait a minute. Kohl's cash counts as film incentives. Am I understanding that correctly?
Did I explain that a little bit right, Jeff?
I don't know about the Kohl's cash, but more like the 11% rebate at Menards. But,
okay. Yeah. Either one works. That's great. And you guys, please defer to each other, or I'm just trying to keep I feel bad because you're here in person and Jeff's not, but he got two questions. I'm just trying to even the score, guys. And one
well,
play
specifically,
favorites.
If we're getting
well,
into
this. I mean, Nathan, talk about your work and why you feel like this is so important. And here's the thing is that Nathan is working out of – people think that this is – what we've discovered with Action Wisconsin is that we built a coalition statewide. This is not a regional issue. Right. It is a statewide issue. And we have met people all over the state who want these production incentives. In fact, because of the way this bill is structured, it's a very Wisconsin-centric program. It will encourage Wisconsin investors to invest in Wisconsin filmmaking and also infrastructure like sound stages. And we're already aware of two different individuals who are pushing for production facilities in both Superior in the northern part of the state. I'm going to use my finger to push up in Superior and then in Kenosha in the southern part of the state. And that's just two. I also am personally aware of 10 movies that are kind of in holding patterns waiting to find out if these bills pass because they want to shoot in Wisconsin. But I don't want to interview Nathan, but I'm very, very curious to hear about kind of his experience in Eau Claire.
My guests are Jeff Kurz and Nathan Deming, two Wisconsin filmmakers who are actively working to bring film incentives to Wisconsin. Let's do that. I want to get to separate projects that you guys are working with, but I know you're doing, we'll get an update on your project too with doing 1 month for the year. I think that's so cool. How long would it take? Let's say, you know, you guys have made it over two hurdles. Let's say this goes through. How long will it take to bring those 10 projects, so to speak, Jeff here and Nathan, or how long will it take to set up a film office where it's running cohesively and we're actually attracting projects?
Well, if it's passed this year, it'll go into effect in January 2026, right, Jeff?
Correct.
Okay. So any production that's planning ahead now could conceivably start planning for getting those incentives once they start. Like, they could start planning production and pre-production for any time after January 2026 and receive those incentives. And I mean, we both have heard of projects that are like, we're not just saying this. There's a lot of people who are interested in shooting in Wisconsin. When we testified before the House Ways and Means Committee, the one thing that everybody had a story about was the phone call that Jeff described at the beginning, which is somebody was like, hey, I want to film in Wisconsin. I want to film in Rhinelander. I want to film somewhere. Tell me about it. And then they find out there's no tax incentives. There's no film office. And then the phone goes dead. So like there's people who want to film here. And like, if we just get like a lot of things can start to run once we get these incentives in place.
How long before, like, let's say things get up and running or it takes a while. Are you worried that, because some states have pulled back their incentives. I know Michigan did it a few years ago. Are you worried that that could happen here? Have you taken the temperature of the general population?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that through Action Wisconsin, we really have gotten out a large effort for people to contact their legislators. I'm not so concerned about, listen, what I always say about these production incentive programs from state to state is that they're like eggs, and everybody likes their eggs cooked a different way. So the way we're cooking our eggs here is it's a very Wisconsin-centric program. Only money paid to Wisconsin residents and only money spent with Wisconsin businesses will count for these tax credits that Nathan was talking about. So there are certain states that have kind of a door wide open policy of, you know, come in here and we will cover all of your expenses. That's not the way this program is designed. And it's designed so that it makes the most sense economically for the state.
That's a great answer. And just a follow up, like, because you only recoup money that's spent in Wisconsin. So you don't want to bring crews in from out of state because that's not valid. So how long will it take before you have crews? Like, let's say you do get a lot of productions come here. Do we have the crews to support that here, or would that happen quickly?
Would you say that's a little bit of the chicken and egg? Like, because we have people here, but they need to be allowed to stay here. I mean, we've talked about over and over again, this number of, what is it, like 500 film graduates are trained in Wisconsin every year, and then they go and they make money in Chicago. They go and they make money elsewhere. So they don't have a reason to stay, but if we give them a reason to stay, they'll stay here. And there's something happening right now. We've both met people that are moving back right now from LA and New York because we didn't get to the big picture yet, but LA might be not the source of Hollywood anymore.
Not much going on. And times are changing, probably due in part to COVID and a lot of other stuff. My guests, Jeff Kurz and Nathan Deming. Nathan's in studio. Jeff's on the stream. We're talking about film incentives here in Wisconsin with Action Wisconsin, a great program that looks like it'll pass. We'll talk more about that coming up after this very short break on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. You got the Civic Media Radio Network.
Down.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. With Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night as we broadcast statewide here from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And we're talking about something that I find absolutely fascinating with two fascinating guys. And I am a big fan of both of them. Nathan Demming and Jeff Kurz are here. They're both filmmakers and actively trying to pass legislation here in Wisconsin that would enact film incentives and hopefully draw a lot more productions to Wisconsin, because it's funny, you guys. I know you're right. I know there are people that would want to bring their project here. There are people that already shoot here, even though they don't have incentives, just to get – because if you don't have incentives, I guess favors in a way are like incentives. I know when I shot a film here, we got so much help from the community. You kind of have to rely on that, don't you?
Yeah, I think everything made now is made uphill, right? Like, yeah. Wisconsin actually had like two hit independent films in the past year, which is Hundreds of Beavers, which some people know, and Green and Gold. Hundreds of Beavers, Jeff knows a little bit about the production of that, but I know that Green and Gold, like, that's a movie all about the Packers.
Yeah.
The producers wanted to shoot that in Illinois for the tax incentive. And, like, can you imagine the press tour when they would have gone around and been like, oh, yeah, we filmed, that's Door County, but really it's like, Aurora.
You can't fake authenticity in an indie film, I don't think. I think and nothing against Illinois or anywhere else, but it's got, you have to shoot that here. You guys, what would be, what is there a minimum spending requirement? Like if someone has a movie and they say, well, I have 25 grand, can they cash in on the incentives or does it have to be $1 million? What are you guys angling for?
The minimum spend is actually $100,000, which is, you know, a perfectly reasonable amount of money to make a feature film. And by the way, you know, I have had filmmakers say, but what if I only have $75,000? And what my response to that is that if you go back to your investors and say, for another $25,000, we qualify for production incentives. The thing about incentives is that their investors are going to see a return on their investment almost immediately after that all the accounting has been done and you know, the credits are sold.
Great answer. Jeff, you have a background. You were a studio executive at Miramax for years, and you've been in Wisconsin for a while now. For people listening, what goes into picking a location? Like, is it typically up to the producers, or do they have a wish list and the studio has to sign off on it? Or does the studio just say right away, we are going to New Mexico or Atlanta because the incentives are best there? Is that a give and take or even a negotiation for that matter?
Well, it depends on what kind of production you're talking about, right? So for a studio, they're always going to be going where they're going to get the best deal. And if you look at credits for movies, you'll notice that I'm seeing Quebec show up in a lot of credits for movies that I know they didn't shoot there, but they probably did post-production there. And so they're kind of piecemealing these productions together. So that's kind of the way the studios operate. As far as locations go for an independent film, it's really about how can I make this, you know, so I'm based in Milwaukee, right? And I've got a producing partner in New York and another one in London, and I've worked with the BBC and Film 4 in London, but the last two features that I made were made here. And it's really all about figuring out what the economics are and how am I going to make, I'm going to have a certain amount of money. How am I going to make my movie with that certain amount of money? And I will tell you that I find that it's less expensive to film in Wisconsin. Just because of what Nathan was just saying about, and what you were just saying about all the goodwill that comes along with making a movie here.
You also mentioned at the beginning of the interview, Jeff, about what's going on in Eau Claire, and I'll let Nathan speak to that. You're in that area, and you had a mixer recently. Talk about the success and the interest you got.
We were just talking about, like, I think a cool thing about what, like, the nice timing of Action Wisconsin and this effort to, I mean, we should have had a film office yesterday, but the next best time is today or whatever, you know. But this has been a really cool opportunity, I think, for filmmakers around the state to find each other and network in a way. I really think regional filmmaking, regional cinema is the future. And it's been so cool to see people connect from around the state. And, like, I just threw on a little mixer a few weeks ago. We had a huge turnout and Jeff spoke at it, and like it was cool to feel like Jeff connecting with them and, you know, Milwaukee connecting with Eau Claire. And I've seen that like around the state the past few months, the amount of enthusiasm there is. You're talking about crew base. We have passionate people here who can easily be trained. Duluth is an amazing example of a town that, like, within the past 5 years went from having a very small crew base to, through their film office, they trained people to do G&E, to do PA work, to learn set etiquette. Like for a pretty low cost, and now they're bringing in a regular pipeline of like Lifetime movies, Hallmark movies, and this fall they're gonna have like a studio movie coming through. Like that's all possible if we just put our energy in the right direction, and we have that too. I mean, Door County just what was the name of it, Jeff? The one that just shot in
Cherry Pie Christmas.
Cherry Pie Christmas. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We have, like, look, how many Hallmark movies have you seen that are Christmas where you notice that the snow is fake in the background, like, because it was shot in Santa Clarita, California? We have actual snow here, you know.
I actually prefer fake snow myself, but
And by the way, what I want to add to that, and Pete, this kind of goes back to something that you had asked about. You said, you know, there are movies being made here in Wisconsin, and that's true, but they are one-off situations. It's not a steady pipeline, and it could be a steady pipeline if we had production incentives. And crews could have steady employment if they went from production to production.
Great point. And you cannot put a price on what it does for tourism. Like, I always used to wonder, why is a film office under tourism? Well, it's such a great way to showcase our state. How do you compete? And I know we have to do a break soon, but I'll at least start you guys down this path so you can think of it. Let's say the incentives go through here. We have a beautiful state. In fact, let's get this after the news or after intermission. But think about how do we compete? Minnesota has very aggressive incentives. And if you shoot up in Duluth, you can maximize or you can utilize two of them. You got Illinois. I don't know if Michigan, I think they're coming back. But let's think about that. Like, how does Wisconsin take some of those projects away and sell itself compared to the other states? All right. Great discussion. We'll continue it after intermission. Jeff Kurz is here from Milwaukee. Nathan Deming is in studio all the way from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Beautiful places, both of them, in our lovely state where we should have film incentives. We'll continue the discussion after the news. Kurt Newman of the Bodines is here at 7:35. A great night here at Nightlight, and great to have you with me. Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate still slogging through amendments on the big budget bill that economic experts say will add trillions to the federal deficit and boost millions of people off health insurance through cuts to Medicaid.
A new estimate from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office predicts some 11.8 million Americans would lose their health coverage over the next decade. Trump insists the Medicaid cuts only target waste, fraud, and abuse.
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce, part of the plan would end incentives for clean energy and quickly would impose new taxes on wind and solar projects while boosting production of coal, oil, and natural gas. The man who started a brush fire in Idaho, police say, then fatally shot two first responders who showed up to put it out was a transient who now began firing after the firefighters asked him to move his vehicle. The only suspect in the Idaho college student murder case, Brian Koberger, agreeing to plead guilty. He will get life in prison with no chance of parole. This is ABC News.